You are now listening to Warm Beer in the Cheap Seats with Big Casey and Mike. Well, I screwed that up. All right, there's a lot on my mind. Welcome. It's Friday night. Happy Friday, everyone. It's Casey here. It's not Big Casey. I don't know who that is. So scratch that from the record. Big Mike is on, let's call him sabbatical. Actually, he's on a mission, so he's going to come back next week. He's going to have a good story for us, so pretty excited about what scoops he's going to get for us. He's on a little mini road trip, so Godspeed there, Big Mike. And, you know, I'm certain we just keep on keeping on anyway. So it's Friday night. I'm in back in old Studio B, and it was a hustle to even try to get here on time. That was half the challenge, but just barely missed it. So, you know, a minute off. And in the Tampa area, we got the Dunedin Blue Jays playing the Tampa Bay Rays. And right now, the Blue Jays really jumped up on Glasnow 4-0. So that's something I'm kind of watching in the background and then flipping between that and WWE SmackDown, because I have probably attention deficit disorder, so I need that extra stimuli. How's everyone's weekend going? Hopefully well. So I do want to talk about a few things. So got to see an artist last week. I was very excited about a Tennessee guy that generally travels a lot in around the Southeast. This was his third show in a year. Obviously, just things closed down. His name's Matt Woods, and I think I've discussed him before in the show or in the first version of the show. Context clue, or to let people in, I had this podcast on another channel. Don't matter. That's a long story. So we're here anyway. So Matt Woods was it was a great show. He played like in about 2 hours, you know, with a little break. And, you know, he actually debuted a few new songs on an EP he had just recently released. So it was just exciting to be outside. And it's an outdoor venue. And it's this place called The Yard. And if you go to The Yard, it seems very familiar. And it's because the design clues, it's based off Skippers, which is exciting because Skippers closed their door last summer, which was sad that they weren't going to reopen, because it was a great venue for live music here in Tampa. And you get a lot of national acts, and national and regional and local acts, and with that gone, but hopefully The Yard kind of picks up where they left off. They're just not going to be in every night because it's private property. So at most, maybe there's two nights a week, but it looks like they're just going to stick to doing Saturday night shows. That said, Matt Woods was amazing for a guy that's been basically sitting on the shelf. And, you know, it's got to be hard if you're a performing artist, you know, this last year. I can imagine how you had to scrape by, but it was good to see Matt, and he made it sound like he would make it back to this way. In fact, if you're in the Orlando area, I believe he's in Orlando tomorrow or the next night. Highly recommend, great show, and I think what he does best is he's a storyteller. He's much like he'd kind of be like a Kris Kristofferson to and a Tom Waits. If they were able to have children, that would be their child, be Matt Woods. So I find myself laughing more at shows, which is surprising when you go to a music show. So we did grab, I want to say thank you. The Canadian audience is somehow growing. I'm not going to say I'm not sure why. I'm just
maybe
saying.
Maybe they have some thick skin, because we're really throwing it at them.
Hey, Big Ed, how you doing there, bud?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
So, yeah, so we picked up a few listeners north of the border. Thank God it's not Manitoba, because they're a bunch of hosers.
Eh?
That's right, eh. So, hey, maybe it's the Maybe it's because you were talking about the, what's that show you like?
The Red Green?
Oh, well, not the Red Green, the other one, the Trailer Park Boys. Maybe it is the Trailer Park Boys listening to our show.
Could be. I'm sure they have nothing better to do than to listen to some, a show climbing the charts like there's a fire below it.
I'm not sure if you noticed, we had been international. I think I'd hate to blame you, but I'm going to blame you for us losing our sole British audience. However, I want to say a mighty shalom to our friends in Israel.
Oh, shalom.
Yeah, so that's it. That's the extent of that conversation.
So, sure, I'll take the heat.
That's okay.
I got broad shoulders. I could carry this one.
Yeah. But that's all exciting. That's all exciting stuff.
Who was in the background? Yeah, where are you at? Studio B.
Studio B. Yep. Going solo. Big Mike is on a road trip. He's on assignment, I'd like to think. So he's going to come back with some stories. What I'd like to think is content. I always talk about, we got to have content, right? Have content. Hey, did you watch that video I sent you of this this turtle basically heckling a lion?
No.
Or you did not watch it? Okay. I'll put that on the Twitter. So this tour guide in one of these natural preserves, and I think this was in Nairobi, he caught a turtle swimming up to the bank where not one, but two lions were getting water after a fresh kill. And it was easy to tell they had a fresh kill because they still had blood in, you know, around their chin. And the turtle just goes and just keeps poking at it. I mean, really bold. But it goes to my theory that I always had. And a theory, I could say now scientific law, because it's been proven, turtles have acquired diplomatic immunity in Mother Nature. They can do whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. Chase the lion away, a turtle. The king of the jungle.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Just like Petey, just a figurehead, uses resources, contributes
How's
nothing.
How's Petey doing?
Petey's good. I haven't seen him all week, but I saw him this morning. He's really getting the lay of the land, and he knows where to hide in there.
Yeah, well, I had a striped algae eater I gave up on about 4 months ago because I hadn't seen him in quite some time. And about a week ago, he was just chilling out in the front of the tank. So apparently he found a really good hidden spot on this driftwood on the bottom of the tank that... maybe I could see him. He blends in pretty well. So, hey, he lives. And I imagine Petey's probably going to do the same. You got a lot of plants in there.
Speaking of plants, I have the... It looks like a fern. I don't know what it's called. But it survived the trip when I moved from Virginia. Now, about a month ago, I can't believe I didn't tell you and Big Mike this earlier. I kept trying to scoop this thing out. I thought it was some leaves from the plant. It was a goddamn fish. They fucking lived in the rocks or something. It's some kind of, you know, tank sucker, you know, but it's not a pleco. Strange. I'm gonna have to send you a picture and you can do with what you feel.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of stuff that's... the only things that survived were bottom feeders, you know. The shrimp population's like quadrupled.
Yeah. Yeah, wow, that's interesting that the ghost shrimp have like taken over your tank.
Well, there's a nice balance now. I think someone's eating them, but not like an alarm.
Once they get that taste of shrimp, yeah. I think that's going to correct.
I got you. A little garlic, a little drawn butter or some garlic butter. Yeah, you'll be hooked.
Yeah, they're like,
maybe a little.
Guys, did you notice those things taste like shrimp? They're delicious.
Yeah, that's like sushi for them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Bally Sports bought, I guess, the rights here down here in Florida for the regional sports channel, which you have Florida Fox Sports and Sun Sports. It's Bally Sports. But for whatever reason, I've noticed watching some games this week, they've had some interesting technical issues that normally you don't see. But you know, I in the broadcast booth, you have Dwayne Statz and Brian Anderson, who generally do the TV play-by-play for the Rays. And they handle it like pros. They just keep going along, whether it's static or goes in and out the pitcher. But the interesting thing is these games, because they're so sparsely populated, you don't have that normal white noise watching a sporting event or really a baseball game, because it's you always have like kind of a murmur that just kind of blocks out everything. But with a sparse crowd, what will happen is you can actually pick up, depending where they're sitting to where things are mic'd on the field, you'll pick up conversations, or you'll pick up a heckler really giving someone the business.
It's funny you bring that up. Do you remember when when I had that little place on the Red Horse West?
Yeah, Red Horse West was great.
Okay, so
5-star review.
Yes, of course. Best wings west of the Red Horse.
Yes, absolutely.
Do you remember I had asked, I don't know, we were watching some baseball and there was a sound that would be right after the pitcher released the ball and didn't know what it was, but it heard like a clicking. Remember a soft clicking?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a rapid clicking sound.
Right.
And you know what? I'd always drowned it out. I never noticed it till you said it, and then that's all I could hear.
I hear everything. I don't know what it is. You think I'm getting older, but I hear everything. And then there was something happened down in D.C., and I can't remember what it was, but they still played the game without a crowd. They didn't have any the filler noise, like the fake crowd noise. And you could hear, like night and day, that it was camera lenses, you know, snapping the picture or whatever it was doing. So I know what you're saying about the heckler. Because now I guess those microphones are designed to drown out like background noise, you know, like the white noise.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm not sure how that technology works.
Yeah.
You know, I guess maybe it works the same way as like, say, Bose, they have like noise cancellation systems.
Exactly.
You know, it just targets certain frequencies and I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
No, but I play one in the bathroom every morning.
Yes, exactly. And how? So, the Rays had a really good road series, beat up on the Yankees, swept them, and then they went to Kansas City. You know, they won that series. They didn't sweep, but they won that series. I mean, they really took them to the woodshed one night. I think they put 16 runs up on them one night. But last night of the series, it's top of the ninth. The Rays were down. They tie it. There's men on base. Joey Wendell, who's like one of my favorite Rays, you know, and when he goes to bat, he's up there. He's one of these guys. He don't use batting gloves. He'll choke up, you know. He's going to go just put good wood on the ball and just hustle down the, you know, base path. You know, play baseball. Imagine that. Guys batting over 300. So you hear these guys, I mean, really giving them the business, and all they're keeping all like, Wendell, have you seen your mom? No, because your mom's with us. And that's all they kept yelling, stuff about his mom. Like, you know, hey, I like what your mom's dressed. You know, they just kept going on and on. And, you know, to Wendell's credit, he can obviously hear it. I don't know if Dwayne Statz and Anderson, I do not think they can hear like the feedback, like the playback. I don't think they're wearing headsets, so they might not be picking up with the mic on the field picking up. But because they obviously didn't address it or giggle or nothing. Wendell, being a pro, doesn't even acknowledge the fan, and then smacks a double and gets a go-ahead run.
I told you about my little heckling stint with Placido Polanco with the Phillies.
Hmm.
He's
a Philly.
Went to a Nats game with the gentleman I worked with in Dulles.
Yes. Yes. The bearded man.
Yes. Yes. We sat maybe 18 rows back behind the third base visitor dugout. And Polanco was playing third, and I just heckled him every time he got up, and I was getting hammered and heckled him. And this SOB, I'm telling you, went like 3-for-4 with 2 RBIs, made 2 great grabs. I mean, he just put on a clinic in front of me, you know, as I'm going, "You're a bum. Placido is not bum," you know. It was the biggest heckling show, and he heard me. I know he heard me. He put on a clinic.
Well, I mean, in a way, though, you're putting on a clinic. You're like, I am bilingual heckler.
Yeah, I was in the zone. He didn't let it get to him. He put that shit back in my mouth so goddamn fast every time I got up.
Well, there's a story about Michael Jordan. Kind of, he would like jaw jack with people on the bench, because I mean, you know, basketball games, if you're courtside, you're right there. I mean, people could hear you if you're yelling on the court. They're going to hear you, and they're playing a game in Utah. And this is during, I think, the second, you know, three-peat run that they're doing, you know, and they have Rodman and all this. And Jordan just goes hard in the paint and dunks right on Stockton. And believe it or not, the Utah Jazz fans they can get pretty aggressive against opposing teams. They're known to really get after them. So some guys getting after Jordan about dunking on Stockton, and Jordan looked at the guy in the fan in the crowd, said something, stole the inbound pass, went right to Karl Malone and dunked on him, and then yelled at the guy running back up the court, "Is he big enough for you?" That's pretty legendary shit talking, and I guess there's like a million stories of like Larry Bird doing stuff like that too, like I mean, those guys are, you know.
Larry Bird was like a shooting phenom, though. Really. He could hit from anywhere.
Pat Riley had a thing. He said, it's a great quote. He's like, if the game was on the line, give the ball to Jordan. If your life depended on it, give it to Larry Bird. I'm like, damn, that's crazy. Yeah, I remember games. He used to carve up the Knicks. I mean, we couldn't stop him. Most of those years that Bird was around, the Knicks were not really that good until like Patrick Ewing came around. They were a little better, but we usually didn't fare well against them.
No, Ewing definitely brought the Knicks to another level, but didn't have quite enough to bring them all away.
You know, and they haven't really won consistently since he retired. I mean, if you think about it, they've probably been to the playoffs, and yeah, I think 2000 was his last year with the Knicks. He did one season with the Magic, maybe they've been to the playoffs in 4 times in 20 something years. I mean, it's not good, you know. And that's supposed to be.
I think that was the last time I watched basketballs with Patrick Ewing with the Knicks.
Those were fun teams, man. I mean, I know the NBA probably wasn't excited because of how they played defense, but, Patrick Ewing brought Big East basketball to the NBA, which I loved, which was, you know, every possession counted. You played hard defense, and you don't give an inch, you know.
Yeah, and he made it look hard, you know. He was not fluid looking when he just, you know, would just lumber his way through.
He would play like full games, like for stretches, like where he would go a week and he would never even sit out a minute. he was kind of like a Lou Gehrig in the sense of like that guy just put minutes on the court, man. But he's coaching now. He's at Georgetown, which is kind of cool. Fire. You know, kind of picked up the torch there. So.
Oh, he definitely knows the game. Excuse me.
Hey, so I saw an advertisement the other night, and I guess I kind of knew it was happening, right, about this movie coming out. And then I was just, like, flabbergasted. There's a new Fast and Furious. And you know what? Maybe it was supposed to come out last year, and they delayed it because there were movies that were delayed that the theater, like Top Gun, James Bond, big movies. But Fast and the Furious 9. That means there are nine of them. I haven't seen any past three. Have you seen any of them?
In passing, but I don't think I've sat down from start to finish.
All right. I saw the first one in the theater, and at the time it was fun. You know, there was a movement on cars with the imports and, you know, of course, the Vin Diesel character is all about the Detroit muscle, and he's got some cool cars in it. And it's good stunts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not going to win an Oscar. Pleasure. Yeah, it was fun. Not. It was a fun action movie, you know, for its time. I saw the second one in the theater. Was not wildly crazy about it. I was like, nah, it's okay. And then the third one, which I did not see in the theater, I saw when it came on cable, which, remember, you'd have to wait about a year for a movie to come out on cable or eight months, right? I mean, that was the thing. Now everything's readily available. You know, kids, you used to have to wait for stuff. So the third one's called Tokyo Drift. There's no one in that whole movie that's tied to the first two until the last 30 seconds of the movie, and Vin Diesel just shows up in Japan. Lou, it is the most ridiculous movie I've ever seen. The guy somehow gets in bed with the Yakuza, and they decide, like, you know what, we'll do this little drag race, and if you win, you're good. No, that's not how it works. You end up in the Sea of Japan or wherever. The Yakuza, if you owe them something, yeah, owe them something. Not like, hey, car racing, we're cool. Now, as crappy as the movie it is, I like a good bad movie, and that's a really good bad movie where I could sit there on the couch. If it's on, I will watch the whole movie. I will not change the channel, and I'll sit there and make comments on it, and I'll laugh. It's even better with other people because then, you know, everyone just kind of jumps in.
Yeah, it's kind of like an Mystery Science Theater type of deal.
Correct. I mean, is there a bad movie that comes on, you're like, ah, geez, this piece of shit, but then you end up watching it anyways?
I'll be honest with you, Case, I'm not, unless it's, you know, Forrest Gump.
That's a good movie, though.
Yes, or Bull Durham. I can't help but just watch it wherever it's at. Tin Cup.
Bull Durham's a good one.
Tin Cup.
That's a great movie. Very underrated. That's a good one.
That one kind of grew on me.
Yep, Tin Cup's great, man. When he's just like, he keeps doing the drop and he just wants to get that perfect hit at the end. But, you know, he's true to himself. He's just going to just go out there. Fun movie.
Yeah. All those are good.
See, I enjoy a good bad movie because, you know, I'm sure there were good intentions, but I still find it entertaining. My favorite bad movie, it's called, now I forget.
I thought you were going to say something like Smokey and the Bandit 3 or the one with, which Smokey and the Bandits when they all come into the desert or all the...
Oh, that's 2. I think at that time that was like the largest car stunt ever performed. And I think Blues Brothers actually broke that when they did the car chase.
I was going to say that beat a movie you'd have to beat because they trashed a lot of cars and going down the Chicago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Which was believable until the time the car flew and they're like, you know what? I'm not sure if I believe this movie anymore. They had me all up until that point. Because they jump that bridge and then the Nazis fall to their death, which is all right. I mean, you know, they're Nazis. They had it coming to them.
Yeah.
Hey, in Illinois, Nazis was basically the worst, as they pointed out in the movie.
Yeah, those local chapters, you got to get rid of them.
Yeah, the local chapters. They're the ones that are a problem.
Yeah.
Now I remember who I'm looking up. It's with Christopher Lambert, who was Highlander, if you remember any of those movies. Oh, but he does a movie in, or like, I think it was 2000, it was Beowulf, which there was a Beowulf that came out in the early 2000s, around 2004. It was an animated movie. I think Angelina Jolie, they had like big high names doing all the voice acting. But there's one that Christopher Lambert did, and I always liked him, and he's like one of those guys. He's like a you would say like a B actor. He's never been like, you know, big production, but he's been like a top billing guy in these smaller productions. Beowulf is a steaming pile of shit of a movie. However, it is endless entertainment for me. I mean, throughout the movie, Big Ed, they are introducing people. At every 5 minutes, there's a new character. You're like, 45 minutes, you're like, who the fuck is this guy? The movie's about to end. They're like, we're announcing a new character in the film. You're like, why? The movie's about to end. They do this nonstop. And then, you know, they must have figured in the budget, they're like, we got $1.50 left over. Let's pay a girl to get topless. I don't know. There's a girl topless at the very end of the movie. Made no sense to the story. She just decided to whip them out. She let the puppies breathe. Not sure why.
I bet nobody turned their head.
No. Even Grundle had to stop and look. It didn't. None of the movie made sense. It was so bad. But if it's on and you got to really, really search for it, like you might find it at the last Blockbuster on Earth, and that's it.
So, you know what movie a friend of mine just turned me on to was, I'd never seen it before, I Love You, Man.
Oh, Slapping the Bass. Slapping the Bass.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, I like that they're really into Rush. No, that's a fun movie. That's pretty good.
Yeah, you know what? Because I turned him on to Trailer Park Boys, and he just loved the episode. There's two episodes. The one where Ricky plays goalie and the guy's going to give him $100 if he can stop one of his shots. He's a famous hockey player. I can't remember his name. He's, you know, a Hall of Famer. And yeah, I don't know if you remember that one. I think it was pretty funny.
You know, there is a movie. All right, so when I lived in Orlando, I was much younger. There's a mutual person we know. He had very long red hair, correct? Let's call him Talbot.
Wait, so, I'm trying to think of who it is. Long red hair.
Yeah. So he had like movies he was into, and they're kind of not good movies, but I would watch them anyways, and they just kind of grew on me. Just like to this day, it's like sentimental. But Dream a Little Dream with the Corey twins, which that's not really a good movie. It's really weird and it doesn't make sense anyways. But we'd watch that a lot because he said I had to watch it because I think he's like 4 years older than me. anyways. And then other one was Youngbloods, which had like Swayze, Rob Lowe, and then like a really, really young Keanu Reeves, which is a hockey movie too. Kind of. I don't know. He always had like weird movie choices, and he'd be like, "God, these are the best movies." I'm like,
"That's when you know that you're in for a long shitty afternoon." These are the best. Anybody that tells you it's the best, oh, you got to hear this, you got to see it, got to taste it. They're like, "No." I smell disappointment right around the corner. Oh, I don't know. Smell. Don't waste
your time. I don't think there was a year in my life where I read so many books. So I did not trust his judgment in TV or movies. great roommate. You know,
who's your roommate?
Yeah, for a year we had a time. Yeah, in Altamont, kind of by where the hospital was, we had a townhome over there, which looks pretty run down now. Drove by it the other day, kind of showing what's Sweet Melissa, the places I live. Anyways.
Did you show her the Clemson house?
I did. Actually, that's the nicest house on the block, believe it or not. It's got a fresh coat of paint. The yard looked real nice and tidy. It looked like that neighborhood was kind of on the upswing. You know, I was like, I wonder if like a bunch of millennials started moving in there and, you know.
Yeah, well, it was pretty beat up when we were there.
That's the oldest part of Altamont for sure, that neighborhood.
Yeah.
You know, like everything, usually go through cycles.
That's how I got into Popeyes, because I could never make a left turn.
You know what? That was like their secret. Like, if we build the Popeyes here, this neighborhood will continually come to this Popeyes.
Because no one wants to wait for that light.
Because that light was horrible. You waited forever. Huh.
Hey, I learned that on a motorcycle. It never changed. Just sitting there, just do. So I'd have to, you know, make a right turn, you know, go down towards Fridays and flip it around.
And then take a left. Oh, yeah. And that Amigos down there closed. I was kind of sad about that.
Yeah, the guy sold. I think a dentist is going in there.
That was like an end of an era. I'm like,
For sure.
I was like, nothing in Altamont is there from when I was younger. Like, not seeing the Macaroni Grill, like, broke my heart. Because I have so many good memories of being in that place when that was such a neat, unique restaurant. Happening? Well, I mean, what other restaurant you walk in, you had an opera singer or just... There's just like organized chaos going on.
They totally just dummied the shit out of that place.
You know, it's like
every year, like a little piece, another piece would break off.
Yeah, well, that was shitty Drinker's product.
You know, they were chipping away at the turd.
So, the one in Carrollwood that you know of is still there. Now, I just stopped in there real quick and, you know, get something to eat. One day, talking to the bar staff, and that's not, you know, they're I'm not gonna say they're free and clear, but it's like an equity firm owns them, which that could be good or bad, you know, depending on what they're trying to do with them, because I guess that's what happened with, like, Red Lobster's not Darden. Did you know that?
It is not Darden.
No. Nope.
I'm so out of the loop on this.
Darden sold them, and then someone else sold them. So they've been sold another time from Darden. And so I actually ate at the one that's in Altamont. That was right around the corner from Clemson Drive, right?
Right.
The bartender had worked for Red Lobster, get this, 31 years.
You know, that's funny. There's a guy, you said there's
and,
a guy.
And he worked at that store for 15. He worked at one in Vegas for like, you know, 15 years or something like that. He was a really fascinating guy, but I was like, geez, I'm talking to the company historian then. He was telling me how they do things in the kitchen, which I think you would appreciate. They're like, They got rid of some of the Darden, like, to Darden's credit, they know how to food cost and, you know, and trim that, but they're like, hey, we're going to have real recipes. We're going to use real ingredients. It's not coming out of a bag, you know.
Right. There was a Mac Grill I used to go to in Albany when I was traveling, and that bartender had been there 21 years.
Wow.
And he knew all the, you know, the cycles and the owners. And I'm like, I'm so far out of that loop.
Is there a restaurant chain that you see that exists that you're like, it's not the same, but you used to like it?
Yeah, Mac Grill.
Well, outside of Macaroni Grill, because I'll say that's number one.
You know what? A place that's disappointing now is the Outback.
What's that?
The Outback, just in general.
Yeah, all right. This is going to blow you away. So
it was always like an Outback pride. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everyone I worked at Outback back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
It was the Outback pride, and that is totally – there was a little bit of it at the one Outback,
wait. First
Virginia.
Off, people don't even realize this. All right, so Outback, one, they had a couple rules. When they advertise, you never show the food. Our product is so good, we don't even have to show you the food. Two, we don't advertise coupons. No coupons. And three, we're dinner only. The exception was store number one on Henderson in Tampa. That was the only one in the nation for the longest time that was open for lunch. Every other one was dinner only.
Mac Grill was dinner only.
Yes. So, but... people that don't understand Outback and what you're talking about, Outback Pride, Outback had their own softball league. Because they were dinner only, so they would play in the afternoon, like early afternoon, or in the morning. They would play games.
There was a Brinker League out in Orlando.
What's that?
A Brinker League.
Oh, okay.
So I kind of know the, you know, for softball, but...
So the Outback by me, though, had creamy onion as a soup of the day the other day, or a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, you know what? Mom was telling me that, too.
Yeah.
She was very excited. Well, that's the real walkabout soup. I mean, the other one with potatoes is okay, but...
No, the walkabout, that's the staple. I don't know why they took that out. Oh, there we go. The Rays baseball update. Randy Arozarena, 3-run home run. We're back in this game. We're only down 4-3. There we go.
I needed that. I just had it up. It was 3-0, and then I pulled up some other stuff.
He's my favorite Cuban until the next Cuban baseball player that comes behind him. But I love this kid, man. They should make a movie of his life, man. I mean, how he got here is crazy. Like, he got on a raft and swam to Mexico, and I mean, I think two guys died on the trip. It's nuts. Love this kid, man. He plays with so much heart. Yikes. I mean, he got all of that. There's no question. I wonder if one of them Rays have ever been hit, because they have that pond out there in the back, in a right center.
Right.
They have stingrays that swim around there. I wonder if one of them ever gotten like a little bopped.
They're manta rays.
Yeah, they're manta rays.
Yes.
You feed them, you know. You know, there's a really good, people don't even know this. I tell this to people all the time. You know, there's a quality baseball museum inside that stadium.
Really?
Yeah, it's called the Ted Williams Baseball Museum. It's free to go to once you're in there. No one knows where it's at. It's really hidden in there, and it's got artifacts of like real baseball artifacts. Well, stuff that was like Ted Williams' personal, it's his personal stuff that he owns. They collected, and it's on display. And it's not just on him and his life, but it's a lot of that. But he collected stuff of people he admired in the game, hitters and pitchers. And outside of Cooperstown is, bar none, the best baseball museum available. Unbelievable.
I was not aware of that.
No one knows. Again, it goes to the Rays and their great marketing, and you know everything's got to be secret.
We don't want to get too busy.
Yeah, we like the slow pace.
Yeah, so it's a fucking great job.
Yeah,
this job's awesome.
I don't really have to work that fast.
You know, you get out the feather duster once in a while.
My God.
Because these trophies don't clean themselves.
Sure don't.
So 4-3, let's see. Looks like the bottom of the fifth.
Yeah, we're bottom of the fifth. There's one strike coming in to Mike Brousseau, and he's going to foul that off. It's going to stay alive. Look at that 0-2.
What's going on with your Waffle House?
Oh, we're doing some Backstreet Boys, a little bye this week. Or no, that's NSYNC. NSYNC. I always get them confused. Yeah, I just kind of they obviously have some filters because there are songs I've looked up that I found on other jukeboxes on the same brand of TouchTunes that are not available there. So it tells me they've definitely altered their jukebox to only play certain songs. So sometimes it's hard to pick out something to really get under their skin. However, you know, today, and I'm not going to say what I do, but where I do do for employment, and we actually still have fax machines. And when I say fax machines, probably like four in our building. So I had a little mission. I had a little side mission today that I was faxing one particular person, a manager, notes throughout the day. And he's collecting them. He's trying to figure out who it is. And he's not nearly anywhere close to cracking this case.
Wait.
But I'm helping him.
You're faxing stuff to your manager?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. First, it started off, do you like scary movies? And then...
I don't see this ending well, but that's great.
Hey, better be like, what? I'm quoting a movie. It's from Scary Movie. Do you like scary movies? And he actually brought the facts to me. He's like, does that handwriting look familiar? I'm like, yeah, it looks like this guy, Mark. So I fingered the guy immediately, of course, you know. He's like, yeah, it does look at his handwriting. You know, I was kind of thinking about him. You know, that guy, he's always clowning around. I'm like, yeah, you know, he's a big clown. Hey, I'm doing a lot of emails. I got to go. You know, nice talking to you. And I get back to work. Meanwhile, then I slip out a back door and then onto a staircase, boom, bada bing. I go somewhere else, fax machine. You know, but I waited, you know, 2 hours later, another fax.
How could he not see like who the fax is coming from?
I don't know. I don't know, but I'm good. The handwriting thing. I'm like, this could, you know, be troublesome. So you know, Microsoft Word, you can do script on Microsoft Word, you know. So I let Microsoft type up a little message and I'm like, oh, so you like to play games and So the next message is like, so you want to play games?
So I may be close. Like a ransom note.
It was like, I don't want to like create a legal thing, but so I was trying to think like, it would be fun. Like, you know, I'm like,
The font.
I got you. And I was like, so you want
to
play games? I may be closer than you think. And I faxed that in. And then he's like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? Like, who's doing this? Like, you know, someone that just doesn't have, you know, better things to do, blah, 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 you know. Meanwhile, that guy's got nothing but time. I mean, he's more distracted than any person I ever met in my life. And then I sent one more with an image of a bear and with the message of the suspense is, in air quotes, unbearable. And he's got all these documents all stapled together. He's like, I don't know what he's going to do with it. He's like forensic CSI.
Well, maybe he'll figure out the phone number, you know, that it's an in-house number.
Oh, no. He realizes that it's an in-house number.
Oh.
And he thinks it's this other guy at work, this guy Mark. I'm like, yeah, well, I'm like, Mark's a clown. He likes to mess with people. I'm like, of course it's Mark. You know, when in doubt, you know, throw someone under a bus, especially when there's shenanigans involved. That's what shenanigans are all about. Folks, these are life lessons I'm trying to teach you. You know, don't be serious about everything all the time. Unless it's a movie, I mean, take that serious, unless you're making Beowulf.
Yeah.
Fast and the Furious 9, by the way. 9. Can you imagine if Rocky, well, I guess he technically did keep making movies, you know, with Creed.
Yeah, he finally took himself out of the ring.
Well, have you watched any of those? They're really good movies.
They're all good movies. There's not a dud in them all. Just, you know, he's...
Rocky V was kind of a, you know...
Was that the street brawl?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Tommy Morrison, where he almost got HIV.
Right.
What is that?
It's a clock.
You have a clock? That
plays
does that?
Maria.
Clock is it? Like a traditional you wind up clock?
It's a bowl of a like a half a grandfather clock hangs on the wall.
Really? When did you get that?
I got that when I lived in the Red Horse West. Maybe after you departed.
Okay. Honestly, I don't remember that. Oh, maybe it was there. I'd have to look at it, but. Are you on a microphone? Wait, do you have a microphone? Or you're just using the laptop?
No, this is a microphone.
Well, your microphone's really good because that picked it up. Everyone really enjoyed
it. This is Studio F. Fuck off.
Yeah. No. I don't find it like, you know, like if this was like the Stern Show, he would have had a... It would have derailed the show for like 45 minutes and you know, you would have yelled at someone.
Yeah.
We were talking about changing equipment and doing a test show. Have you ever heard every once in a while on a blue moon, they would re-air. They did like 2 test shows before they went official live on SiriusXM.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then like, one's like 5 minutes and one's like 25 minutes. And they only probably did 25 minutes because Artie Lang, you know, when he was in the zone, you know, storytelling, you get stuck in it. You know, he's telling a story and Howard's like, hey, we're not supposed to be here telling stories. We're not doing a show right now. We're just make sure the equipment works. But it's really weird. Like, there's a weird sound to it. But I was thinking about that conversation we were having and, I don't know, it was the first thought in my head was Howard Stern's test show when he went to, you know, satellite. Jeez.
Where did you find that?
They played it on the 101 one day. Like, you know, when they do like Sternthology or something like that.
Oh,
I mean, that's
good.
I think in like 10 years I've heard them play it like twice. You know, so I mean, you just gotta. It's catching lightning in a bottle on some of that stuff. It was fascinating. I mean, the first one, like, it's just them just doing more technical jargon. I guess, like, if you're a radio nerd, it'd be more interesting. Jeez, Glasnow does not have his stuff tonight. He just got bombed. Gee whiz. Who's that? Grichuk hit a home run with Blue Jays. So they're up 5-3. There is no doubt on that one. That was a deep part of the stadium, too. Left centers. Four plays from home. We had someone enter the live studio in Angie, and I'm assuming she left. But thank you, Angie, for stopping in. She'll probably never hear that.
Who's Angie?
I don't know. It okay. just shows me when someone logged in live to listen. Because I could still see the message board. And hey, folks, if you are here, you can engage through the message board. Or you can email me at the show here in the cheapseats.com. Or you can reach out at us at Beer Seats on Twitter. That's our handle, at Beer Seats. I got that right. This is first for everything.
Oh, I see. I haven't been looking at the message board at all. I just now looked at it.
Yeah. No, and also revamped, all new and improved, the official website of this podcast, or every version of this podcast, if you will, is warmbeerinthecheapseats.com. Pretty easy one to remember. So you can reach out and get little tidbits of information from us there, or reach out from there and get a hold of us. So please do. We want to interact with people. So that's okay. That's part of the fun of the show, or could be. Your choice. Or hang out and listen.
We have this.
Big Ed, let me ask you something.
Sure.
This is a big question. It's burning on me. What's your thoughts on breakfast for dinner?
I like dinner for breakfast.
Hmm.
I'll eat a Reuben at 6 o'clock in the morning. No one says you cannot. It's not like beer. They stop selling it, you know. You get corned beef anytime you want. You want to have the breakfast? Have at it.
Do they do that?
To answer your question, I'm on board with that.
I'll tell you, growing up, and I don't know, because I guess it was just unusual. When I found out I was going to have breakfast for dinner, I'm like, this is going to be the best meal ever. Maybe nothing different.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. I did too, because it was Sunday breakfast for dinner.
Yeah.
So, you know, you would have all the fixings.
Yeah, you get your potatoes and your eggs and your bacon. You get some English muffins and... Boom,
it's vegetables,
man. Yeah.
That's really what it was all about. No vegetables.
Yeah. No vegetables. It's just protein and carbohydrates followed by more protein and possibly fat.
So you don't have to say why you don't like the lima beans, you know?
And for me, then I can be like, well, this is breakfast, so I don't need milk. I always drink orange juice for breakfast, which is the greatest of all juices is orange juice. So the Greater Council of Florida Farmers, I hope you're listening. I'd be more than happy to be your spokesman for Florida orange juice while it still exists.
Dude, I used to like grape juice in the morning.
Grape juice?
From the concentrate, yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, that was a thing. Mom used to buy.
Oh, yeah. The concentrate, yeah. That was a big thing, sure.
Dude, in the Army, I used to drink that by the quarts in the morning. That was like the best hangover fluid to hydrate.
Yeah, well,
orange will tear up your stomach, you know, too much. Or my stomach. I couldn't get enough grape juice in the Army. I loved it.
Hey, you know what's interesting about our message board? It doesn't. It's just there, but it goes away. Like you can't save it. You say whatever. It's like if you're had short attention memory or you know a memory disorder, like you forget everything.
Yeah.
Say it there.
Welch's.
Yeah. Welch's, yeah, Welch's did the grape concentrate. You might still be able to get it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I grew up on basically concentrated orange juice. However, you know, down here with groves and stuff, you know, you can get fresh squeezed for certain times of the year.
Yeah, I haven't made orange juice in years. I can't remember the last time. I've drank it. I'll just buy it already made.
Yeah. That's what I do. I mean, you know, Publix, they make it fine. So I let them do the hard work.
Yeah. I just swipe the card. I do the heavy lifting.
Yeah. I did the heavy lifting at work. Literally.
So what else you got going on there?
Nothing. Just dying on the vine, man. Just dying on the vine. You know, it's a weird dynamic without Big Mike.
Absolutely.
This has been fun, and I'm not gonna say it hasn't been fun. It's different. And you know what? You probably came at a good time because who knows where I would have rambled to? Because if I'm a kite and I'm not on a string, I just float away, and you never know where that goes. Because I'll keep going if you let
me. Yeah, you're just not paying attention.
Right. And again, that's, you know, when we do these pre and post shows, which we'll do tonight. That's why I like to have
I'm not a scripted guy.
A set list, if you will. I like to have a set list.
Yeah, I know. I'm not that organized.
Maybe it was
So, you know what we could do? We have one little segment left that we haven't hit.
Oh, wait, hold on. Then, I didn't set up intro music, but I got this for you.
Hell yeah.
All right, folks. All right, hold on. So, this is what I'll do. I'm going to do that, and then it's going to lead into the next segment. So, folks, that only means it's time for Big Ed's Rock and Roll Retrospective.
Thank you. So tonight, we're going to talk about Brian Setzer Orchestra. He's a solo artist, came from the Stray Cats. Stray Cats, you know what? I never owned any Stray Cats albums, but I knew all the songs. In about 4 years, when the iron was hot, there was always on the radio with Stray Cats. So this album, Brian Setzer Orchestra, is Brian Setzer playing his Gretsch guitar with a 17-piece orchestra, percussion, horns, strings, you name it, and it's a great sound. It's a retro swing, jump blues, rock and roll, rockabilly type of album. It's called The Guitar Slinger. It was released in 1996. It's 43 minutes long, produced by Phil Ramone, yes, of the Ramones. Brian Setzer, like I said, came from the Stray Cats. Even some of the songs in here are Stray Cats. I think there's three Stray Cat songs. And great songs in their Stray Cat form, and then you throw some horns behind it, and wow, what a sound. Setzer grew up in Long Island. He admired the jump blues of Louis Prima, Big Joe Turner. Also liked Elvis, Eddie Cochran. During the 80s, he led a rockabilly trio called the Stray Cats and found moderate success and commercial success, actually. After the band broke up, Setzer worked as a sideman on some solo stuff. He worked with Robert Plant and the Honey Drippers.
Oh, nice. Didn't he really?
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I learned that just earlier this week. In 94, he released a debut. It's called the Brian Setzer Orchestra. I think this is another sophomore album. It's just ironic, they've all been sophomore albums, even though they're solo guys.
Yep.
But this I've had in my collection for a long time, and I've never tired of it. So the Brian Setzer Orchestra is also known as BSO.
Yep.
The BSO often plays in December during the holidays, and they do a lot of Christmas songs. They play the Rockefeller Center tree lighting ceremony every year.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
So Guitar Slinger, like I said, is the second album. It's an album that has aged quite nicely. Guitar Slinger is the second installment from Brian Setzer Orchestra, and like the previous self-titled album, this one rocks well. Brian Setzer continues with his sound, the rockabilly mixed with a big band and intense energy. So the track listings is nice. We like a flow in an album. I think we've made that pretty clear after listening to Van Halen too. The flow really just makes a great difference. Because it starts out with like This House is Rocking, the old Stevie Ray Vaughan, Doyle Bramhill song. And then goes into Hoodoo Voodoo, which is a Brian Setzer original. Actually, Brian Setzer's got eight original songs, and two of them, they were co-written with Joe Strummer, better known as Joey from The Clash.
Oh, so, yeah. Yep.
The talent that he's played with, Casey, is unbelievable. I really, really dig this album. So on a scale of 1 to 5, I gave this a 3.8, almost a 4.
Wow.
I love this. Just note that it's an original sound for its time. Took a couple of some Stray Cats tune and added an orchestra. And wow, listen to the rumble in Brighton. Holy crow, does that thing just move. Big horns, good guitar work. I mean, look, Brian Setzer's no slouch on a guitar. He plays a 59 Gretsch, and he prides himself on it.
Dude, that's a big guitar.
Big guitar, hollow body, so it's really light.
Yeah.
Let's see, hoodoo voodoo, nice. And then, yeah, so the transition from House is a Rockin', the Voodoo, and then Town Without Pity, which is a remix, a nice bluesy ballad, and then comes in with Rumble in Brighton, picks it back up. So it's just the flow of this album, some of the best, my favorite. Like Zeppelin 3 has that flow that I desire. 12 tracks, 43 minutes, and it goes by really quick. I listened to this 3 times today while I was doing some stuff around the house. This is great driving music. It's a good party music. Like if you're having a house party and you got a little area for people to move around, this is definitely something to put on your rotation. So the sound of this, like I said, is unmistakable. You know it's Brian Setzer, but it's not predictable. The BSO from start to finish, fresh without being predictable. Rockabilly stands the test of time. Horns are placed perfectly throughout the tracks. Like I said, Rumble in Brighton is a great example. You listen to Stray Cats, Rumble in Brighton, you're like, wow, this is a pretty cool bouncy bassy tune. And then he throws in the horns behind it and just fills some holes that are there. Unbelievable.
No, that whole, I mean, it's amazing. That orchestra is really tight. There's not a hollow sound. I mean, everything.
This is the who's who of session people, you know.
Yeah.
So you should see that there are 17 people, and I kind of glanced around. And
17.
I wasn't going to give a biography on each one, but the horns make up the orchestra, obviously. Or, the orchestra, that's the difference.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a no, nice
I mean,
blues,
he created
a nice
movement. I mean, there was like swing dancing clubs popped up because of really his move of rockabilly and, you know, basically big swing, you know.
And he puts his twist on it, and he's the best at it.
Yeah. No doubt.
And that'll do it. That's what I got.
Excellent. You'll stand by that?
I'm going to stand by this.
All right. You know what? The 3.8 is the highest rating you've had.
I think Zeppelin 3 I gave a 4.
You did. But we're going back all the way to like when you did Rush Fly By Night. So it's been a while. We had some.
Well, you know what? This really will cap this. This I think this will capture somebody who wouldn't necessarily listen to this music.
Well, it is an interesting album because, you know, there are trends.
I think it's an album like everybody.
If you like that style of music.
Yeah.
I think it transcends trend. It's it's got a good sound. I don't know. I'm a fan. I own the album. I've listened numerous times. I have it in my collection. You know, CDs, remember those things. And I'm a big fan of the Brian Setzer Orchestra. So I was pretty excited when you said this. And actually, I would like to just kind of circle back next week, just real briefly, just to get Big Mike's take. Because I don't think Big, because I'll tell you what, I guarantee you Big Mike's never listened to it before. If I was a gambling man. However,
I would say this is something that he might enjoy.
It's going to be in his wheelhouse. Absolutely. Yeah. So I think this is a really that was a really fun pick, and I'll give an endorsement of if you haven't listened to it, listen to Brian Setzer Orchestra. It's fun. This album that Big Ed's talking about, it's great to put on the background. You know, you're doing something, and it's a crowd pleaser every time. You're not going to be disappointed, and you're listening to professional musicians really getting after it. And that's what I'm all about, professional musicians getting after
it. So I sent you the draft of, if you want, maybe let Mike read it. It might help him out.
Oh, okay.
I should probably get in the habit of doing that.
Yeah. No, that's good. I mean, the liner notes before or after. I did have a couple other things. You know what? I'm going to, you know what? Inspired about, you were talking about the movie, An I Love You Man.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw out an I Love You Man segment here. And I'm going to say, I love you, man, to Alex Smith, the quarterback.
Oh.
The guy who would never give up. On his own terms, decided to retire. The guy that went through 17 surgeries to save his leg, came back in the NFL, and started last year for the Washington football team, and officially made his announcement of retirement this week. And he was someone I followed closely. I'm going to say, making it too personal, but, you know, I was living in Utah at the time. He just so happened to be going to the University of Utah. So it was just fun. They were like a pop-up school that all of a sudden they had a really good program. They had this guy, I don't know, this up-and-coming coach called Urban Meyer. I don't know who he is, but he's coaching Utah. They're doing this crazy spread offense. He's running around. He's throwing passes. Really fun. They ran the table that year. They were undefeated, and the BCS gave them no respect. They're like, well, you'll play. I think they put them against Pittsburgh, which was a decent team that year, but not great. And they absolutely slaughtered Pittsburgh in the bowl game. And Alex Smith was a number one overall pick, you know, but to his credit, I mean, You got to be a good athlete to survive 16 years in the NFL. So, congratulations, Alex, for retiring on your terms. And I want to say, I love you, man. I'm just throwing that out there. And then the thing I want to talk about, and I think, Big Ed, you've probably seen this in the game of baseball, just guys just strike out too much. They every at bat is we just swing for the fences or we're out. So I'm not sure if you know about this, but the Chicago Cubs are going through a massive slump.
No, not aware.
Their middle of their lineup. All right. How about this? Since the beginning of last season to now, their team batting average against a fastball, not changeup, anything crazy, fastball. They're batting 235 if someone throws them a fastball.
Jeez, that's pretty bad.
Yeah,
that's the one you're supposed to be able to hit.
That's the one you wait on. Yeah, exactly. And it's because how pitchers have figured out the Cubs, they've been so predictable in their swing pattern. They're like, you pitch them inside, then you pitch them outside, and then they chase and chase. And they just throw fastballs outside. They just chase them. And it's really interesting, but, I mean, it's kind of sad. Like, I'm like, this is what baseball – but generally, it's a synopsis of what has become – most of baseball is this guy just chase bad pitches, hit a home run, they're striking out, and you have a guy on third with one out, and you, if you want to be a gambling man, you can gamble that guy's not coming home. So, and you know, that's my take on that. Am I wrong?
No, but I'm still thinking about Alex Smith and his, what he went through.
Yeah, I mean, you think about early part of the career, he goes to the 49ers, you know, number one overall, and they usually weren't a good team around him. And they went through a lot of coaches, and then people just, that guy got dogged his whole career by the press out in the West Coast. I mean, dog. And then ESPN used to dog that guy a lot. And then he got benched, you know. And then he leaves and goes to Kansas City with Andy Reid. And, you know, lo and behold, people are like, this guy's pretty good. You know, Andy Reid's kind of like, he knows how to make offense happen with a, you know, you have a decent quarterback. And he goes to Washington. I mean, he had bone out of skin. He broke it. I mean, he had a Joe Theismann kind of break, and he came back and played in the NFL. It's crazy.
And he played at a very high level, competitive
played
level.
Played at a very high level.
I mean, he didn't just show up. I mean, he was, you know, he was making it happen.
Yeah, you know, someone put out a documentary. I forget where it was at. I don't know if it was on Netflix or maybe it was ESPN.
ESPN did like a 30-30.
Yeah, maybe it is. It goes through like how he did all these surgeries. And, I mean, fascinating.
Yeah, they get him. I think you see it up to the point and he's working out again. Like, he's determined to make it back. At this point, he's, you know, they're still unsure. I think that's where the documentary ends.
You got to respect that tenacity and that, you know, that takes a certain special perseverance and work ethic. And I think people overlook that. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. That should be something that should be more admired.
Yeah, well, that's... the work ethic's what made this country great.
Yeah. That or not wanting to really pay taxes to Britain, you know, one of those two things.
Well, that was, you know, some things never change.
Yeah. Well, hey, listen, I wouldn't have paid anyways because I don't drink tea. That's bullshit.
That's right.
I only drink sweet tea. And for anyone northern of the, I don't know, whatever, imaginary line, if someone asks for sweet tea, don't bring over a sugar packet. It's got to be brewed sweet. It's not the same. You can't have cold tea.
No, it has to be brewed.
And put in sugar in it because it tastes like shit with sugar at the bottom that you don't drink and enjoy. You got to brew it sweet.
It's the only way it'll dissolve thoroughly.
Right.
Well,
you know, they figure it out down here.
Yeah, come. This is Florida. Leave it like you got here.
Yeah, we. I mean, I could do a whole segment on places I enjoy getting sweet tea from. That could be a whole thing. That'll be my new podcast, Where to Get Sweet Tea.
Chick-fil-A is good sweet tea. It's not...
Yeah, good sweet tea. Now, all right. They have a good sweet tea, and they have a fantastic lemonade, by the way. They have one of the better lemonades, and which leads to the best, probably, Arnold Palmer in the planet.
Ah, they'll make an Arnold Palmer for you?
No, well, at work, sometimes we get it ordered in, and then we'll get a gallon of tea and a gallon of the lemonade, and I do it myself. Nice. And it's fantastic. It's almost too distracting. It's too delicious, and I'm like, I'm going to become diabetic, but it'll be worth it for this. Because I just want
to talk to Billy Garden. He'll get you back on track.
Yeah. Oh, Zampik.
Oh,
that guy doesn't look like he's losing
you
weight.
Fat fuck.
That would be a better commercial, right?
Well, his diet. What's good about his diabetes, and I think I've said this before, is he loses 100 pounds, and he loses that at Ozempic.
I just like the one part, like we should do we need to record that. All right. I'll talk to you off the air, but we'll do something where we can post this, but that should be a Mystery Science, you know, our MSD 3000 is going to be
that commercial.
No, well, just any commercials. I think we could just lampoon that thing all day long. Cause I always see that part, like he's grilling, he's got the skewered like vegetables.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, that's the food my food eats. And he's like just throwing it away. He's like, I'm not going to eat that. I'm just like getting that for the cattle that I'm going to eat. You know, just like I'm going to eat ribs tonight, you know?
Yeah. Who are you kidding?
I mean, gosh, you know, he comes to side splitters, by the way, here in Tampa quite a bit. I mean, I don't know how often now because, you know, whatnot, but he was coming like twice, two, three times a year. The comedy club here in Tampa, or what? Well, one of them, but
I think he's well respected. I mean, Jay Leno's had him on his show.
No, he's well respected, and I there are some people that like that club because of the owner. I think he owned that club for a long time. So there are some bigger names actually. Play that club, even though there's technically a bigger club in town. Florentine was there, I think, 2 weeks ago.
Oh yeah, that'd probably be a good show.
Yeah, pretty good one. You and what army? The Florentine Army.
The Florentine Army.
Well. We're probably nearing that time. What do you think they're big at?
Yeah, I'm looking to pop a couple of hot dogs, and I have some Nathan.
Real.
I have some Nathan's Coney Island bagel dog, so I'm actually pretty excited about that.
Coney dogs. All right. Well, with that said, I'm gonna cue the.
Got my night carved out.
I'm going to watch the Rays, see if they can try to get back on us against the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Really doesn't want to play music. Oh, there we go. We're hitchhiking out of town, folks. I promise you, Big Mike will be here to save my ass next week. Like, share, and enjoy. I want to say shalom to my new friends. Manitoba's, they're full of hosers. I'm glad the other provinces are getting aboard. We got some West Coast fans. Didn't even get into the U.S., but thank you. So, Big Ed, any final words?
No one has pickles in the rest. Use a condom, bruh. Thank you.
That's about it.
All right. Thank you guys, and peace out.